No Guts, No Glory. Der Podcast rund um die Themen Biohacking, Sport und Darmgesundheit. Mit Simone Krumhofer und Alex Antonitsch.
So, hello and welcome everybody. Today, completely different. We are in English today because we have a very, very special guest. We are big honor to welcome Kaspar Sonnes today. So, hello Kaspar and hello Alex.
And
hello everybody. Hello Kaspar. It's a pleasure and an honor for me to welcome also a world champion in the discipline Ironman, which is for me, I'm not a specialist, as I said, the original triathlon, the Ironman. And I read about you a little bit after Simone gave me the input. And for me, it was fantastic that you, obviously, it's your debut. It was your first Ironman. You become world champion in a record marathon time, which is unbelievable. And the third thing, what was coming to my mind, and I couldn't believe it when I read the Norwegian hype train. And maybe you can explain it, because coming from other sports, and I don't know if it's unique. I never heard about it. So maybe, Kaspar, welcome, and maybe you can explain what it is about this Norwegian hype train.
Yeah, so I think it actually started 2017 or something. Like, we were a group of, three guys from Bergen and more of the national team. But then we kind of, I think it was the commentators in World Triathlon that kind of branded us or called us the Norwegian Hype Train. So it was like, from there on, we maybe have been taking that and, used it as a maybe branding. And like, even also like, now when me, Gustav, and Kristen is by ourselves, it's been more used. But like last year, some people said like the Norwegian hype train is gone. And since like we didn't have like the best season last year, like with Gustav and Kristen not performing in Kona, I weren't a part of their group back then. But like, then we were really like wanting to show that, we're going to be back on top again. And we had a goal that this season we on every race we competed at, we were not going to have one guy out of the podium. So at least one guy on the podium every time. And we've been managing to do that for every race. So it's been good. And now we took 1, 2, and 3 in Nice. So that was very special. So the Norwegian hype train is definitely back.
So that's Mr. Blumenfeld and Mr. Aiden, they are second and third. So all Norwegian podium spots. But for me,
and
the
interesting
thing is, and from Bergen,
we are all from the same same city. So that's really unique, actually.
So, and that's that's a place where in November it doesn't get lightened up in Bergen.
So it's starting to be more cold and rainy. It's raining a lot there. So it's a lot of indoor days of training, but luckily we can go on camp. So we have some months on the road on camp, so then we escape like the bad weather, but still it's a lot of indoor training.
Perfect. When I'm right, I also read about it that you three guys are coaching yourself, pushing yourself, practicing together. Okay, that's what I heard in other sports, but that you guys are coaching and helping yourself and pushing yourself, I never heard this, because basically in a world championships, you're rivals, right?
Yeah, we are rivals. But like, into this season, I took a choice of going like out of the national team and be self-coached. But I would never gone out by myself, since I think it's a very dangerous position to be in just being yourself, coach yourself. But I went out with Gustav and Christian. They were also going to be self-coached. So we were training a lot together when I started triathlon until 2022, when they went long distance. I went more to the short distance, and or sticked with that. Then we had a 2 year break, but then yeah, after last year, I think Gustav and Christian also wanted to have a change in their group, or not group, but like more taking more responsibility for their own training and basically the whole career. Me too. So then we sat down, talked that, okay, maybe we should go back together, train again. And yeah, try, as I said, get the Norwegian hype train back to the top. We did it. And yeah, it's very nice to be self-coached. You do basically what you feel the body needs. And yeah, we can kind of adapt to every situation. If we feel we need to, like, now we need to do more altitude training, we are just three guys that's basically following the same program and the same like routine in the daily life. So then it's very easy for us to like, yeah, now we go on altitude camp and then we go to altitude camp, and we basically don't need to plan so much in advance. Like, then it's like we do it now when we feel it's best for us, and then we, yeah, do what's the best in the situation and for ourselves. So it's like, it's a very good thing, I feel. And also by just going self-coaching, it's like I've felt I've been managing to know my body way more, like in a way that I know when I can push and not push. And also, yeah, in competition week, like I've experimented like how I should get the best out of myself, and that I feel I've done. So yeah, it's just very nice to just be self-coached, kind of.
it sounds great. The results are proving you right, and I still say it's unique. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's very unique. Maybe, but like it's also, yeah, a bit hard also in the competitions, since like we are all rivals in the end. Like, yeah, you of course want to be on top of the podium, and that can be like not dangerous situation, but like a bit like hard situation to be in. Like, you know everyone's weaknesses, like, and we also, I think that's a good strength in the team, that we also share it, even our most weak parts. Like, then yeah, we talk about it and like also try to make each other better. So if Christian gets better, I will get better. So we see it that way, that even if you share like the weak spots in a race, for example, that you feel you are struggling, for example, Christian after Frankfurt, he was sharing a lot with like, he was struggling on a bike, he needed to be better. And then he kind of share how he wants to be better. And then we are talking about it and push each other to new heights. So I think that's a really unique thing, that we actually share the weak spots, not only the strengths, and like, yeah, build each other up in a way that's making everyone the best.
I have to say, honestly, that describes probably all three of you as a person also. And that's unique. And I can only say, I never heard something like this in sport. And I'm around in sports for a pretty long time. And congratulations.
Yeah,
on this.
Thank you. It's a bit unique, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. Where Simone brought me to during the hard times when you met Simone, it was in Austria on a race. I never heard of a chase race in triathlon. It was during the COVID time. And she said there was a Norwegian hype train suddenly coming in. So how was this for you on a different competition, on tough times we all know in any sport, in everybody's life? How was this in Austria when you first came here for this competition?
Yeah, we were invited to do like the chasing race. One guy, we're going to do the full distance. We were going to do like a relay type of stuff. So we were going to do like, everyone did the swim, bike and run, but like in different like lengths of the relay. So then we all started with the swim, and then we went over to the bike, and then the run, of course. So then, yeah, in that time, it was during the COVID also. So it was like a hard time getting competitions in. So we were really privileged to be invited for a race and actually could compete. So yeah, we really enjoyed it, having a nice time in Austria, and yeah, getting to compete. And it was also really fun racing also to try to beat the guy that did the full distance also. So yeah, it's quite some years ago, but I think we started with some minutes deficit, or we were a bit behind him. We're gonna chase him. So still, like, it was hard to chase him.
Maybe we have to explain that it was necessary at that time, right, Simone? Because you were not allowed to bike, for example, next to each other.
No.
So
Yeah,
you had
I
to
think
have
it was.
distance.
Yeah, we have
Yeah,
to
we did
keep
all at
distance.
ourself. Yeah. I
Yeah.
remember, like, we were changing on the swim. So I think maybe Gustav started, then I changed with Christian, and then me in the end, and then
Okay.
we changed to Or no, no, the other guy that swam last went over to the bike again. So we needed to see what was the best, who were the best from swim to bike, and then from the bike to run again. So yeah, it
Yeah.
was still, we needed to be a bit tactical, but like, yeah, it was really fun to just do the race, and it was also quite hard in the end. So yeah, it was hard chasing.
Yeah, also for me.
So Kasper, as we have you, as we're lucky to have you here on this podcast, we are always happy if we can bring out something also for hobby athletes. And maybe you can help us on some tips for them, especially on motivation, because that's probably the hardest thing where a lot of these athletes are struggling on a daily basis or sometimes. And how do you get yourself out of the door on days when you don't feel like training and maybe the weather is not too nice in Bergen? So what advices you would you have as a world champion for hobby athletes?
Yeah, like, it's always the inner drive to, yeah, for me to, like, be the best. So I always, like, motivate me with, like, the races to come, and also, yeah, the goal I have in mind with, like, now it was Nice. That was the big goal this year. So, like, when we were in Nice in January, going through the course, and it was like minus degrees at the top of the mountain, and we were freezing on the way down. It was like not so fun, but when you see back on it now, it was like so good that we did it. And that was also when we were there at that time, it was like, oh, this is so cold. It's also raining, and it's like not enjoyable at all going out. But then you still have the goal, like, in the horizon, that okay, in 6 months or 8 months you have a big race, and then it's like, this is very important. But like in a daily life, when I'm at home in Bergen, it usually rains, and like it's not always motivating to jump on a roller. It's just nice to just have some focus in the training. Like, you try to focus on, especially if you do intervals, then it's like trying to, with a pedal smoothness, pedal stroke, and like try to have some tasks during the ride or the run. And I like to focus on technique to let the
Christoph and
time
Gustav
going.
are helping you. Christoph and Gustav are helping you then.
We talk about stuff we feel we need to get better in, but we do most of, like, training is more like we do swimming together every morning, and then probably the bike in the winter we do at home on a roller. If it's
Okay.
nice weather, we of course go out, but like most of the training there is on a roller and by ourselves, and then the running intervals we do together on the Thursday and Sundays. But the other, like, easy sessions is more by yourself, or we go out with each other. But they're also, like, going in a group also makes things way much easier. So then we plan, maybe, okay, now today after the swim we go run together, and then it's like, yeah, it's raining, but still, like, it's so more enjoyable just going out in a group. So yeah, going out in a group is like, get the time just goes, you have something to talk with, and that's I think it's a good thing to have people talking with during a training. But I also love just taking on my AirPods and go out running by myself, so I can enjoy both. So Yeah, I think it's important to find something you like in like daily training to, yeah, just enjoy it in a way. So I would lie if I said like I am motivated every day to go out, but yeah, it is an inner drive like for myself. I feel like just and also just being outside, I love. So just being outside and do what I love, then it's not so hard to go out either.
For me, honestly, for a long time, I didn't understand either I swim or I ride the bike or I run. And now somebody's doing everything together. And that brings me also for hobby athletes to my next question. You have an advice because people I know and friends that are doing triathlon, how should they balance work, family, and training? Because sometimes I think it's unbelievable what they do about times they
Yeah,
are
I
swimming. I
really
mean,
admire those people like that can manage work, family, and all the training. So it's like yeah, just crazy how they can balance all the stuff. Where like I feel like myself, like yeah, training 30 hours a week, and then like I can't understand the people training 20, 25 hours and still have a full-time job and kids. It's like, how is everything going up? So it's
So it's
like,
almost
yeah, I'm really admiring those people managing doing that. So yeah, I feel I have enough with like the 30 hours I have plus recovery and traveling and everything. So like, yeah, I'm yeah, admiring that part. So
okay, we leave it there. I thought so. It's tough because sometimes when I see the schedule of these people in a
yeah,
normal
it's
job, I
insane.
say, okay.
But I think
When
they
you
enjoy
do it,
it really much.
yeah,
Like,
of course,
I think
otherwise they
they
wouldn't do
enjoy
it.
like when they probably leave kids for training, they go out for a run themselves and just like really enjoy being active. So I think that's people just enjoy it so much and like they don't see the struggle as I see. Like, I don't get the recovery and everything, but they see like being outside and just doing what they love is like, yeah, I think that's a good thing. Yeah.
One last question on training, and maybe advice as well. For us, it was always we had a coach who said training has to be a pain. It has to be hard so you can enjoy your competition. And when I asked this to a guy who does triathlon to enjoy the competition, what was your hardest training or your hardest workout you ever had? Or is it the same that you say, okay, I have to really punish myself in practice and dig in hard and deep?
I think it's important to train on what you're gonna do on race day. So if you're gonna do a super sprint, you need to practice that pace. You can't just do threshold and then show up and expect you will do fast times. So yeah, but like the most hard sessions we've had is like probably the super Sundays, as we used to call it. So then it's like now in Nice we did 160K basically steady hard all the way, like what we will do in race pace or in the race. So that's like quite hard, and then we're gonna finish it off with like 3x9K on the run. So but it's not like hard in the way that you get lactic acid like in that way. It's just like so demanding and like you get so tired in the end. So it's more like the tiredness you get through your body is like that's the feeling that's maybe the worst. But yeah, I think those are probably the hardest day where we are on race pace for so many hours. It's like there we did 3.5, 4 hours almost on the bike, and then you have the run afterwards is 3x31 or 32 minutes. So it's quite some hours with intensity, and then of course you need to fuel a lot. So, but I assume we're coming back on that part. So yeah, then I need to have a very high carb uptake. So yeah.
I see Simone suffering already. So I guess it's very, very hard. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, that's quite hard.
It's quite hard in a car already some days, you know, on a bike.
It's so interesting for me because 5 years ago, I did a 70.3 in exactly 4 hours. So that's for me quite fast. It's a fast woman time. And that's 5 years ago. And I even can remember how I managed this. So, yeah. If you get older, you will think about the things you did in the past, and you just can imagine how you did that. So yeah, enjoy it at the moment.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, trying. So as good as possible.
So Kasper, now I would like to come to a point where actually I met, how I met Simone, it was about nutrition, about gut health. And she told me it's huge in triathlon. Nutrition is often called the fourth discipline in triathlon. When did you yourself realize that how important it is?
We always been very curious about how much carbs we can take up. So especially when we started with Olav. When he came in back in 2018, then 17, 18, in that time, then we were like trying to experiment with like how much carbs we can take up. So I think I started around 80 to 100 and then tried to build a bit more. Then towards the Olympics was more up to 120 grams per hour. Then it was like, that was maybe the upper limit we were at. But then the last, the three, 4 years now, it's happened so much in like endurance sports in terms of like nutrition and how much carbs you can take up. And I think that's also a reason why sport in general, like endurance sport now has been going so much faster. We are more aware of how much carbs we can take up, with also how much out of like when you are trying to recover also, but with like just taking up carbs and then the nutrition in general. So
Maybe Simone, you can jump in what this means, because until I talked to you, I had no idea what it means to take up 182 gram of carbohydrates, you know, in 1 hour. Maybe you can jump in to explain the hobby athletes or normal people, what does that mean? Or you have to train that, or your gut has to be perfect for this? Maybe you can explain a little bit.
Yeah, that's really important to understand to explain. And that's really important for me as well, because that's not the everyday athlete can take in. So we have to get used about it. We have to train it. We have to train the gut. We have to think about different structures of carbohydrates we take in. And we really have to prove the concept for ourselves is which levels or which amounts of carbs we can take in. So that's really important, because don't try it on race day, or don't try it from 80 to 150 grams in the next training session. And as Kasper well explained, 2017 or 2018, they used about 80 to 100 grams, and slowly get better and better in the amount of intake. And 180 and 2 grams, like in Nice, are really, really special. And that's not the everyday approach we do in the scientific.
But I feel it's also how the nutrition also is like built up. So if I took 182 grams with maybe some other brands, I would maybe not handle it so good in the same way. So I've also been had like a quite sensitive stomach with nutritions. So when I first started using like the Omni stuff, like my stomach has been like completely different. And yeah, the nutrition isn't so like you could, if you imagine 182 grams mixed in a bottle, you would maybe think that's a very strong like mixture, but like it's not actually. It's made in a way so that I feel that it's easy to get in, and also it has some taste like the grapefruit, and it makes it like a quite good taste, not too sour or anything. Like it's just like I feel I can drink and drink, and then it's easy to get it in also. So but yeah, for the months prior, Nice, I were really like strict on, yeah, train my gut to handle even just 150 grams in easy training. So in easy training also I had 150 grams of carbs plus gels, so, and also on the hard days I pushed it up to, yeah, 180, 200 grams. And then it's like, yeah, you can also feel it during the race. You are more, not recovered, but you don't get the fatigue so early. And yeah, also with the caffeine I have in the gels, like that also gives a extra kick. Like when you are out there for 8 hours, I think I had like 800 or 900 milligrams of caffeine. So that's on top of like the nutrition I have. So yeah, it's a lot to train, but if you do it over time, it's good.
So for me, as by far no expert, I mean, I know that nutrition is catching up also in tennis, and gut is very getting more and more important because of the stress you have, length of the matches, concentration, jet lag, travel, all kind of stuff. But this sounds like the Formula One. What you guys do is, how can a hobby athlete in endurance sport or other sport participate from this? Because basically, it's something you do. You put everything on the limit and try to get it up. First of all, the gut has to be in good shape, and then you're testing the Omni products with Simone and how far you can go. Is it like the Formula One, like I said, that they are experiencing on the upper level, and we as normal people are benefiting from this? Or I'm completely wrong, that there has nothing to do with it? Or can a hobby athlete see how important the gut and nutrition is? And can he benefit from what Kasper is doing or experiencing?
Yeah,
On another level?
I think we have to take a deeper look into also the scientific approach, and also, Kasper mentioned it earlier, the technological components as we used in sport nutrition today is completely different 10 years ago. So we have developed a lot of carbohydrate products. We combined different carbohydrates. That's really, really important. We need different sources because we also use different types of transport mechanisms from the gut lumen into the bloodstream. That's very important. And for the everyday athlete or the amateur or age grouper in triathlon, yeah, we can see or we can learn that it's possible, but the question is it useful for an age grouper? So you can train your gut and use, for example, 90 or 100 grams of carbs. That really makes sense because you have to train this as well. So the gut will not in every case tolerate also 90 to 100 grams of carbs. And 2 days ago we had a female athlete from Austria, also under our brand, Anna Babinger. She won her first long distance race, her first Ironman in Tennessee. So she was using about, I think, 85 grams per hour. So that's also possible to win in a very, very good time. I think she had 8 hours and 30. So really good time. Ran a marathon under 3 hours. So for Anna was 90 grams per hour enough. But I think we see, like in Kasper's case, we can extend the amount really if we can train it or if we train it every day.
But the first point for hobby, and I'm again at the hobby athletes, should be, in my view, in any sport, they underestimate the gut health.
Yeah.
For them, it's normal that they have gut problems. So is that the first point, that they underestimate how important health is?
Always the basis, and gut health is crucial for endurance athletes because we have to use energy, or we need the energy intake during exercise, and that's something the gut or the whole gut system don't like. It's unphysiological, and so you have to train it, and your gut health is the basis.
Any human. But that's what I thought, that that's why I said that basically what you guys do is Formula One, and we can benefit from it by the time we know about gut health. And then the second part is what I can put in, but without the gut health, I just went through. Okay. Beside the gut, I know I talk a lot about the gut these days. For me, it's one key thing in your sport, mental strength. It's different probably to tennis or golf, where it's a long time concentration and stuff. But I mean, how is it the mental health on your point when you have a low point, and how do you deal with these moments? Or is it tough when somebody passes you, or how are these low points and how you deal with it? I know that Norwegians are very strong on concentration. But how you deal with these low points?
If we take knees as an example, if we start before the competitions, I'm really nervous. But then, I try to think about all the work I've done and, try to, convince myself, or not convince, but that I know that this is something I can do, but then try to focus on, okay, if you get a good start, you put yourself in a better position to up on a bike and not need to stress in the start of a bike to catch and waste energy. And lucky enough, I've been quite okay on the swim. This season, I've been on the first group every time. So that's been good. And also on the bike, when Sam and Christian went away, that's then I really tried to close that gap, but then it was too hard, and then you need to slow down since you need to think about, it's coming a marathon in 1 hour and you're going to run for 2.5 hours. So if you lose 1 minute now, in worst case, you can lose 10 minutes or 50 minutes or 20 minutes if you push too much now, and then go over a limit where you just cook yourself for the run. And then it's it's hard to ease down and then not go after them for 2-3 more minutes. But that could basically be make it or break it if you kind of destroy yourself there. So then in the race there, I eased down, and then I knew I had Gustav around me that is really good technical downhill. So then we were okay, then we do a bit of work each other on the flat, and then he takes the downhill since he is way better, and okay, maybe we can gain 10 seconds there or something. Still, he was cycling a bit faster than me downhill, so I needed to push a bit in uphill again, but it was between 5 or 10 seconds he took me downhill. But like then I felt underway in competition that I were like, I felt so good and just were so focused on the nutrition. So it's like taking those decisions during the race were like keeping me more calm. So going out to the run also, it was like kind of three groups. Like you had Sam and Martin, Christian and Gustav, and then you had me. So then me and Gustav and Christian were running like basically the same pace during the promenade. And then we saw we gained a lot on Sam and Martin. And then when we came up, I've been running like 3:30 pace and like what 3:30 between 3:30, 3:25. And then when we came up, I was like, okay, now I'm going to settle a bit down, chill, or not chill when you're, I've been out for so many hours, but like try to ease a bit down so you don't like overdo something. You can feel so good in the first 10K or 20K, and then you can like blow up the last 20 and then it's bye bye. You never see you again. So, but then Gustav and the others start to like really push like down to 3:20 pace. And then I tried to follow for a little bit, but then I was like, this is maybe not sustainable until the end. So then I eased down. And in that point, it was That's like amazing. Kind of like, should I go or should I not go? But then I was like trusting myself that, okay, this is like so fast that it would be like a world record if they keep this pace. But then I saw the gap stabilized around 30 seconds and then the mental part starts to kick in and then it's like, okay, if I keep this for 10 more K, then we are at 30K, then I can start to really push and then you start to calculate in your head and then it's like, it could be hard in that situation to let go, but then I were trusting myself so much that, okay, if I run 3:30, it's like, it's more than fast enough. But I would not be surprised if they did like a 2:27, 2:25. So it's like, I know Christian and Gustav so well that like they are racers and they really perform race day. So it could be a big fall from my side if I just let go, but like I knew that I could potentially blow up. But then, yeah, I were up again. And then when I got up again, I started to push again and then I got a gap. And then from there on, it was like not easy, but like then you kind of get that mental boost that you are, yeah, on the way to a victory.
Was that the moment when you know when you knew it's gonna be possible? That's my thing today. Was that the moment?
I never knew that. No, you never know. Since like I had a gap with 15K to go or 14K to go. And it's still a long way. So I could run one more loop, have 5 more K, and then they could be in a like a 30 seconds gap distance to me. So you never know. But like when I got that gap, and I wouldn't say easy, but like, yeah, in that way, it's, yeah, you kind of cannot rest until you know this is a done deal. And that was maybe with 2K to go when I came into the crowd area. Then it's like... Okay. A relief in a way. Yeah, just a relief that, okay, 2 minutes or 3 minutes on 2K is like, then I can not walk, but like, yeah. Yeah, then it's just a relief and just like, yeah. But still you need to work since like you can get cramps and you need to like, with the nutrition and everything. So I would like really like, yeah, stick to the plan basically, and that made it mentally easier during the race to, yeah, take good decisions.
It's fascinating for me because it's I used to work a lot on with a brain scientist on being logical at times and being emotional. And when I listened to you, maybe the last 2 Ks you were emotional. Because it would have been probably the wrong thing if you try to see the guy in front and catch up, or you let go, ease up, saying calculating, fascinating. And so you had a lot to do basically also in this 8 hours, not only swimming, biking, and running. A lot of
you need to take the best decisions during the race. And that can be hard also, like You need to take the best decisions, be the best prepared, and also have a bit of luck. So yeah, you always have to have a bit of luck, I think, to win. But like, I felt I was so well prepared, so I were never doubting the equipment or anything. Like, I knew that I've done, that part is like that. The equipment and nutrition and all that stuff is like also a mental part, I would say. Like, you need to, if I had shown up there and started the last week with like, training my gut to handle 180 grams of carbs, then I would felt very bad. Like, then I would probably felt like a bit not, maybe swollen in the stomach, like in the training. Like, then you feel like you have so much carbs in the stomach and you don't feel like prepared in that way. But I've started so many months in advance, like training and preparing with the suit, the wheels, the bike, the nutrition, the helmet, everything were like, I felt spot on. So yeah, and also like just having the team around me supporting in that way is like very special.
How did you go in on expectation before the race? Did you go on a medal or that's my day, I'm gonna get the gold medal? Or
I knew,
how was the expectation
I had a,
going in?
Yeah, I knew I had an opportunity to win the race. So I knew like with the shape I had, it's like, if it goes in a way where me, Gustav and Christian is out on a promenade together, it can be 1, 2, and 3 as it did. But yeah, I was going into race with like going for the win, and yeah, I would be disappointed if I weren't on the podium, since my shape has been just going like gradually upwards since like Texas, Frankfurt, and then yeah, now the shape before Nice. I were very calm before the race and just felt like relaxed in a way, even if I was really, really nervous also, like so much can go wrong in like those 8 hours. So you can have a flat, you can crash, you can get cramps or anything. Like, but then I felt like I had so the calmness in the body, like before, like just feeling that everything were set, everything were like done with the training and everything. I felt good. Got to do the last week as I wanted, like getting as much rest as I wanted, eating enough, sleeping enough. Yeah, everything were like on par, I would say.
Fascinating. Simone, any questions?
No questions. Just I was asking as well if we could expect that. And I said no, but I saw the order list from Kasper in the last month. So things he ordered to use, products, and it was huge, big amounts. And I was thinking, okay, this guy has a plan, and I think he will have a really high carb uptake in the race. So yeah, that was expected from our side because we saw what he was training with. So
it's been like
that's the outcome. So and I think that's really important.
Yeah it's been
and
like
I have
very
to
yeah
go ahead
no
go
it's
ahead.
Like been very like good working with like Simona. We've been having some chats like also before Nice to like the optimization of like the stuff and the nutrition and also future products. So like it's been very like interesting for me, and also very it gives me a lot when also the partners goes the extra mile to get me there. So it's like very very nice.
A big thanks to our athletes manager Mario is always our man between, so I'm just in the background. I just got so all the information.
Formula One team manager is Simone, not only for world champions, also for us. It's unbelievable what you can do, and also with the tests and how you can optimize the whole thing. But Kasper, you inspired so many people, also hobby athletes, with this world championships and with the record time and with all coming around at your first Ironman world championships. What is the next big thing for you? Is it Hawaii or is it anything we don't know or you have plans?
Yeah, I would love to win Hawaii, but now I have a big target on my back after Nice. So, but first I will do 70.3 in Marbella. But yeah, as I told on many podcasts and many interviews, that Nice were the big goal this year. Winning that and doing it also was like just amazing. So not to put any pressure on my shoulders, but like, yeah, that was the biggest goal. And yeah, I would love, I'm really motivated to show up in Marbella and try to, yeah, win the world title there also. But I know I have two other athletes in my group that's also very motivated for that first place. So it's like, it's not going to be any easy thing. So yeah, we're going to go to Sierra Nevada now in just over a week time to prepare for an altitude camp. So it's no resting. We had like a bit of rest now, but I feel the body is taking on a lot of out of the body, like doing the times I did, like during the race, I weren't thinking anything of a record breaking time or anything. It was more like getting the win. So when I crossed the finish line there, it was like seeing the running time and the bike time and the swim were like, okay, that was a sick performance, but that was not on my mind there. And I think that just took a lot of out of the body. So yeah, now it's Marbella, then a well-deserved off season, I think I've earned. So I think I will have 2 weeks where I do what I want in terms of training. Yeah, take 2 weeks. I think
2 weeks.
It's important to stay hungry and not rest too much.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
The winter training is also quite enjoyable. Like, it's structured in a way, but it's still like more open to do adjustments if you feel you need more, a longer run in a mountain, a longer bike ride, or more swimming. You're more open to do that in the off season. So okay, between November and January is a time where it's structured, but it's still more open to what you want. And then in January, we start with camps. And yeah, we haven't planned anything yet since, yeah, we are now self-coached and we need to do that stuff ourselves. So usually we sit down after our swimming session and eat some sushi at a restaurant called Sabrura, and then we do the the planning afterwards. So yeah, we haven't planned anything yet. We need to plan Sierra Nevada now, and then we take things afterwards. But like, it's very nice, and I'm very motivated for Marbella, but I also feel like it's gonna be good to have some off season, have some time off. It's probably gonna be a lot to do even if in the off season. So but yeah, I'm really enjoying the process and just having a good time. Yeah.
I have one final question. Then I'm for my questions. What is your personal why? And
my
why
personal,
you do all of this? Why? There's always has to be a reason that somebody's doing it. At least what I found out in sports.
I feel it's split in two. I just love to be outside. Yeah. Just love to be active and just, the feeling of being outside, just using your body is like so nice. And I get to live the best dream ever, like doing what I love, being outside, train every day, and then, I could compete. And that's something I love, competing and feeling that you are in so good shape that you can, basically do everything. Like, like before Nice, I were running on the mountain now with Gustav some days ago. And it's like so strange that how fit you can feel 2 weeks ago before Nice. And you feel like you just can go out, train and do basically everything you want and don't feel tired. And now you are tired. You have not lost your shape, but it's more the mental or the fitness. You haven't lost your fitness, but it's more like the mental part that you are so empty, or you felt it taking so much out of your body. And that's like, I feel that's also a nice thing, like you can do what you want, competing, training, that every day. It's like, so it's nice.
Kasper, thank you very much. It was an honor and special for me. And congratulations to your world champion.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Also for me.
All the best for the future. Stay healthy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cut. Und wer hat's produziert? Das Pod. Deine Podcast-Agentur.